Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We are bumped by the Masters for the rest of the week, Tony. What are you going to do with that five-day weekend?
Tony Kornheiser, I don't know. I'm torn, Mike. Either cave diving in Malaysian Borneo or sitting on the couch and watching golf. I'm leaning towards the golf, but I don't know.
Yeah. Malaysia.
The cave diving has a certain allure.
People don't know you used to travel. You used to travel the world. Have you been to Malaysia?
I've never been to Malaysian Borneo. I've never been to that. It was a little far from me. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Dan Hurley is confident. Kentucky needs a head coach. And Scotty Van Pelt joins us from Augusta for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with Connecticut holding Purdue to just 7 attempts from beyond the three-point line last night. Purdue, the second-best three-point team in the country, made just one. They got 37 points from Zach Edey and still lost by 15, 75-60. This is Connecticut's second NCAA championship in a row, and no game in either tournament was close. Wilbon, what did you think of how UConn won this game?
Tony, I thought UConn was what they've been, which is systematic in my mind. I mean, they have, first of all, they have all the personnel on a college team, and you don't see that much anymore. I mean, the game is so tilted toward three-point shooting, and we hear the phrase small ball, which I get tired of. Connecticut has shooters, they have size, they have depth, they have people who can operate in the middle of the court. They have everything that a team needs to have. And teams used to have this when people stayed and learned how to play basketball for 2 or 3 years. Most schools don't even, the Power Five schools don't even have that anymore. These kids know how to play, and they are damn sure well-coached. They are a machine. And, Tony, they're systematic. It struck me last night that Purdue or anybody else but Purdue would have to play a near-perfect game. Villanova once did that in the final to beat another systematic juggernaut, Georgetown, by 2. So if Purdue had played a perfect game and shot 90% and a half, they might have won. But that's asking too much, as great as Edey is. And so UConn, tip of the cap to everything they've done.
Yeah, I think it starts with the buy-in from the players, because they've got a coach who essentially says, Zach Edey can score 50, and they won't beat us if we take away the threes. So the UConn players went out on the perimeter, and they took away the threes. 7 attempts. Purdue normally shoots 20. 1 make. Purdue normally gets 8. That's minus 21 in points for Purdue. And to me, that's great coaching. I mean, I look at Danny Hurley now and the way he goes through these tournaments. It's now, what is it, 2 tournaments, NCAA tournaments, 12-0, and nothing fewer than 10 points. This time, they averaged a win by 23 points a game. Last year,
Amazing. It
was 20 points a game. I think that's coaching. There's only 2 other guys who are active, Rick Pitino and Bill Self, who have 2 wins like Hurley, and Hurley's significantly younger and should have a greater future. Yeah. I'm giving them a lot of credit, Mike, a lot of credit.
Well, after the game, Hurley made the case that his Huskies have a place in history. Hurley told reporters, quote, I think it's up there in terms of the greatest 2-year runs that a program maybe has ever had. To me, it's more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams. We lost some major players, close quote. Tony, I am not with Hurley. Are you?
Okay, you just heard me say how much I love Danny Hurley as a coach.
I love him too.
I think he's
great.
Terrific.
He's great.
He has routined this tournament for 2 straight years, like it doesn't matter at all. I'm not sure I'm with him on this. I will concede the point that Duke and Florida brought back everybody. And Hurley had to replace 3 guys, maybe his top 3 guys. I concede that point. Dawn Staley had to replace 5, and she went undefeated, and Hurley lost 3 games. I don't want to grade this on a curve, Mike. I think there's some context that's important. Duke returned all their players because in those days, everybody returned their players. Everybody. Michael Jordan left after 3 years, but most guys stayed all 4. Florida guys said, let's do it again, and they came back, and also not that many one-and-dones at that period. So Hurley gets to face teams that are not full and complete teams because they've got a bunch of one-and-dones, and they're not mature as teams. That's not true for Purdue. Purdue was a mature team. But Duke had to do that every game, right? So I'm not certain I'm with them on this.
Tony, I like these. I'm glad he said it because these things are fun, especially when there's some sense of history. And Danny Hurley is in a basketball family steeped in history. So Danny Hurley not just popping off. It's not a hot take.
Yep.
All right? So I respect where he's coming from, absolutely. But no. And I'm going to go something very specific. I'm going to zero in on the Duke team. And nobody on these UConn teams last year or this year ever, Ray Allen's in the company of, other than that, as good as Grant Hill? No. So Duke had a guy who was a sophomore, a junior, and then a senior. Grant Hill nearly won a national championship when Christian Laettner was gone. He nearly did. Scotty Thurman of Arkansas beat him with some heave. Otherwise, Grant Hill would have three. Okay, so no. Nobody on UConn's as good as Grant Hill. I don't mean the Grant Hill that played in the NBA. I mean the Grant Hill that played at Duke in a Duke 33 uniform. Yeah. Nobody. So no, I'm not going there. You can put them in a discussion, again, is a tip of the hat to Danny Hurley and everything they got going on.
I'm
going to
say this. Hurley talked about the last 30 to 35 years. I'm older than that. You're older than that. I'm going to go back to the 2 years that David Thompson was at NC State when they went 27-0, couldn't play in a tournament because of recruiting violations, and he was worth it, and then beat Bill Walton the next year and went 30-1. And I'm going to go to Kareem at UCLA. 3 years in a row, won them all. Pick any two you want. Here's the main 30-0, 29-1, 29-1.
88-2. You know.
Right? It appears that Danny Hurley, Jay Wright, and Nate Oates have removed themselves from consideration for the vacant Kentucky job. It's clearly one of the most prestigious jobs in the country. Last time they hired a coach was John Calipari, a year after taking Memphis to the Final Four. Wilbon, where does this leave Kentucky?
Tony, it leaves them in a fascinating place, and part of it has nothing to do with Calipari's departure. It has to do with where college basketball is going. We've been talking about this publicly on this show and privately, you and I, in phone calls, for the whole season. We've been talking about this, and I don't know where it leaves Kentucky because, there's some young guys out there that we may not even know and think of as names, and Kentucky may be too scared to go with a neophyte, but they may be able to do a great job in Kentucky. I don't think Kentucky's going to just go out and get some famous guy to come in and be better than John Calipari. I don't believe that for a second. So it leaves them still in a search, Tony, but you can go into the transfer portal. You don't know how long people are staying. Everything's in flux to a degree. That it's not the old days where you're going to saddle up because you got a famous coach and just go through it. I believe Kentucky better be careful that they're not Nebraska football. They better be careful in their arrogance. And nobody's more arrogant than Kentucky basketball that they're not Nebraska football.
All right, so I find it understandable that Jay Wright wouldn't be interested in Kentucky. He has two championships at Villanova. He's great on television. I don't think he's going to coach in college again. I find it understandable that Danny Hurley wouldn't be interested in Kentucky.
He's got it going.
Connecticut in the last 25 years has six championships for the men and 11 for the women. Connecticut is college basketball. Everything else is a step down. I don't understand Nate Oates not being interested. What exactly has he won?
Well,
maybe he wants to continue to coach at a football school, but Kentucky would pay him more money and give him a bigger calling card. I had Pat Forty on the show today on the podcast. Pat lives in Kentucky. He gave me three names. Patino, not one of them because of the Louisville stuff. Not going after Patino. Said Scott Drew of Baylor, who's won a national championship. Billy Donovan. Maybe tired of coaching the Bulls and treading water. He was an assistant at Kentucky when they won a title.
He was.
And the other name he gave me was Bruce Pearl because of his extensive SEC experience. You know, maybe. Maybe Pope from BYU who played at Kentucky. Let's take a break. Coming up, Tiger says he can win the Masters if everything comes together. We'll ask Scott Van Pelt where things are right now.
We'll also ask him to describe the pressures on favorites, Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm.
I'm pretty sure that Kentucky has more coaches who've won the national championship than any other school. They got five.
And they run them all off.
They ran
off Joe B. Hall. They do. They run them off. This is the third person, Tubby Smith.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories. Tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're off the next 3 days for the Masters, which means we will leave this time slot in the hands of our great friend who joins us now from Augusta, Mr. Scott Van Pelt. Scottzo, let's start with this. Scottie Scheffler comes in as the number one player of the world. Very, very hot. Won a bunch of tournaments. Jon Rahm is the defending champion. What do you think the pressure is like on each of these guys?
I feel that Scottie carries an unusually burden is not the right word. I think he has unusually short odds. That's reminiscent of Tiger at the peak of his powers. I mean, it's like less than 5-1, which is outrageous. But given the way he's played recently, there's every reason to expect that he will play well. And sometimes that can be a burden. But I think that like Scottie, Jon Rahm arrives with a green jacket. There's a whole lot less pressure on either of those men than there is on somebody like, say, Rory, for whom this isn't just I can win the Masters, it's I win the Slam if I do. So I don't necessarily believe, Tony, that pressure is a word that applies to either. There is the scrutiny that comes with being the reigning champion, and certainly Scottie is a guy having won the last two and coming up a stroke shy of a playoff in the last one. Everyone thinks they'll play well, but I don't believe either feels any burden at all.
So many great players, of course, Scott, in this field, including Justin Thomas, who sort of split with Bones McKay, his caddy, recently. What can you tell us about that and the state of JT's game as he goes into Augusta?
It's interesting. I was actually able to sit down and have lunch and visit with him today, but I literally did a poor job of preparing for this segment because I didn't ask. I thought it was the kind of thing that if it came up, I would say, hey, what happened? But I'll be honest with you, Michael, as it relates to caddy player splits, it happens all the time on the PGA Tour. It's just very rare that anyone knows the name of the caddy. Everyone knows Bones because he was with Phil for so many years, and then he was with Justin, and they won majors. He won majors with both players. I didn't ask the question. But I know that JT has been up here in advance of the week and has been working hard this afternoon after he played this morning with Tiger to try to get things dialed in. He, like a lot of well-known players, whether they've won majors or not, have not had the best spring run-ups. But there's so many players that arrive here, and this place is just like manna from heaven, right? It's just the kind of thing that gets them ready to roll. It wouldn't shock me at all if Justin played well, but I did a poor job of finding out any scoops on what happened between he and Bones.
Listen, you mentioned something that we want to move right into, and it's so natural a segue, Scott. Tiger, speaking of manna from heaven, and guys who've had no spring run-up, what Tiger says he can win if everything goes right. What are you, having seen Tiger all of his career, what are you expecting from Tiger Woods this week?
It's so difficult to answer that question because I'm truly just guessing because we haven't seen him, Michael, finish rounds, right? I mean, his body has reached the point where the back is fused and the leg has gone through so much because of the accident. He's had so many different surgeries that his body is betraying him. So, sure, he's going to sit there in a presser on Tuesday and stare out into the media center crowd and say, I can win. And you're going to go, well, we'd feel like an idiot if we said he couldn't. And yet his inability to just finish rounds makes it hard to think that's possible. But I'm speaking to Justin. He played with him today, and he said he hit it close on 7, and he's like, he's going to win, right? All the patrons are going crazy. He's like, he's going to win. He's going to win. And all it takes is like a birdie on the par 5 second early in the first round, and you'd be like, here we go, right? I mean, you'll never doubt the man. It's just hard to believe, given how little we've seen him be able to play in the last couple of years.
All right, Scott, we will get you out of here on this, and it's the anticipated question. There are 13 LIV players in the field. There's supposedly, we always hear this, ongoing negotiations to merge the tours in some way. You're on the ground there. What is the mood of the players on both sides on all of this?
Tony, the appetite for this fight seems to have been abandoned by both sides. I mean, when Rory McIlroy, who I always think of as sort of Jon Snow drawing his sword to fight the whatever, what was it, the White Walkers? I don't know. I'm not a Game of Thrones expert. But he was the guy out front for the PGA Tour, right? He was the most vocal. Those guys can't ever come back, and the hell with them. And now Rory's like, nah, what are you going to do? We should probably figure this out. And so I don't think that either side has any appetite for a fight. John Rahm saying we should play 72 holes on LIV. I'm like, you understand what LIV is, right? That's 54. That's the name of your tour. So I don't think anyone truly cares. And I think the sport is, I keep using the word adrift. And it feels like something seismic has to happen to get everybody under the same umbrella, so to speak, under the same roof, under the same governance, something. Because as it is, you're just kind of left with, you're over here, we're over here. The good news for us as golf fans is that we have everyone together this week. Coverage starting 3 o'clock and on ESPN Plus and SportsCenter updates. So, you know, you can watch them all this week anyway.
Such a great way to get that plug in. I admire that. Thank you,
Scott. Appreciate it, Scott. Yep. Thank you so much, man.
Always, boys. Thank you.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, my Nationals get to the reigning NL Cy Young winner. What about how'd your Cubs do?
They 8-0 lead. I'll take that every day for 162. We got to talk about
that.
Yeah,
how did it end up after 9? Yeah,
I don't know. I was at the national championship game. I abandoned it.
Oh.
8-0 lead.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Luis Arraez. Arraez is a second baseman for the Miami Marlins, who are off to a terrible start, 1-10. It would be easy to lay some blame on Arraez, who's only batting 250. Most teams are satisfied if their second baseman hits 250, but much more is expected out of Arraez. Last year, he led the major leagues in batting average and singles, 354 and 160 singles of his 203 hits. The year before, when Arraez was on the Twins, he led the American League in batting at 316. Arraez is one of only two players ever to lead both leagues in batting. DJ LeMahieu did it with Colorado and the Yankees, but Arraez did it in consecutive years.
Okay, Tony, over under for Arraez for the season. We check back in October 1st. What's he going to hit? I'm going to say 303. I'm saying he's going to zoom it right up.
Yeah, I'd go as high as 310. I would.
Okay.
Happy anniversary, Russell Westbrook. On this day 7 years ago, Westbrook passed the great Oscar Robertson for the most triple-doubles in one season with 42. Westbrook finished this game with a buzzer-beating three to lead Oklahoma City over Denver. Westbrook had 50 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. Westbrook is the all-time leader in triple-doubles with 198. The triple-double has become routine lately. Nikola Jokic, Mike, already fourth all-time with 130. Just eight behind Magic Johnson for third. LeBron James fifth. James Harden is eighth. But Luka Doncic is already ninth, bearing down on Harden. Domantas Sabonis, one shy of tying Larry Bird for 10th. Wilbon, why are there so many triple-doubles now?
Tony, just like the game is positionless, it's taskless. You're not just looking for a power forward to get you 12 or 13 rebounds. Everybody rebounds, everybody shoots. People do so many things because they are so skilled. So, you know, the phrase, stay in your lane? The lane is this wide. People are not just allowed to do everything. They're encouraged to do everything. I think it makes for a better product. I do.
Happy trails to last night's games for three baseball teams. Milwaukee got beat 10-8. Cincinnati's Ellie De La Cruz hit two home runs. The first he hit lefty, a 450-foot crush job to center. The second he hit righty, an inside the Parker, as Sal Frelick missed the diving catch coming in from center and the ball rolled to the warning track. The Giants lost to Washington in Blake Snell's season debut for San Francisco. Snell had a 1-0 lead early, but walked two and gave up two RBI singles in the second. He was lifted after three innings and 72 pitches, having struck out five, but allowing three runs. And your Cubs lost an 8-0 lead to the Padres. Went down 9-8 on a home run by Fernando Tatis Jr. on the 20th anniversary of the opening of Petco Park.
Yeah, we blew a big lead the other night and still won a game. I think it was against the Dodgers in Chicago. I'm worried about these big blown leads, even though the Cubs have gotten off to a pretty good start, Tony.
All right, we'll go to the big finish now.
Speaking of
a good start, Shohei has five straight multi-hit games. Are you impressed?
Yeah, but more so with the eight extra base hits he has in his last five games. Very impressive, as always. Indiana State star Robbie Avila is entering the portal. Everybody goes through the portal. Does that make sense for him?
So this is the kid they call Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Larry Nerd and Steph Blurry. I love this kid. He may follow his coach to St. Louis, right? Austin Matthews. Yeah. Scored his 65th goal of the season with five games to play. Should he go for it or rest for the playoffs?
I hate rest for the playoffs, but the Maple Leafs have not won since 1967. It's time for Toronto, past time to do something. That's what I care about, not individual goal records. Celtics at Bucks in Milwaukee tonight. Is that significant?
I don't think it is, because they're both guaranteed to go into the playoffs, and I think the playoffs are significant now. I think you probably disagree on that one. Last one, Warriors-Lakers tonight. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, Tony, Milwaukee's fallen and they can't get up. They need to win. And yes, I mean, the Warriors, I know they've won 7 of 8 and the Lakers are in 9. They're going to face each other like in 10 days in the play-in. It's significant. Yep.
Yeah. Greatest game in history. We're all over that game. Who's going to make a run, Warriors or Lakers? We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Corn.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We're bumped by the Masters until Monday, knuckleheads. But now, here's SportsCenter.
That's not Augusta.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.